I'm Trey Wingo.
And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers?
That's the butterfly effect for real.
My last name, Judy. People sometimes call me short for Jew, for like one Jew. So I just got a Jewish star. So, yeah, I'm not Jewish, though.
I'm a ball player. Whoever picks me, I'm going to go show up. I'll play whoever for whoever drafts me.
I've deleted Twitter a lot.
That is the most enjoyable moment about ball, is to go out there and just really abuse somebody. And they won't say nothing about it in the press, anything. I ain't on no headlines and handcuffs, no mugshots, no nothing. I'm out here just physically abusing a man.
Like I said, I'm obviously the most valuable person in the draft. You want a person who speaks one language or you want a person who speaks three languages? And I'm definitely a person who speaks three or four languages.
Welcome, everybody, to the Pick Six Podcast.
The 2020 NFL Combine is in the books. What's up, everybody? Pick Six Podcast here, CBS Sports Daily NFL Podcast. I am Will Brinson. I am your host. Thrilled to be recapping the 2020 NFL Combine, first ever year in prime time in Indianapolis, with the man who interviewed, I think, roughly 93% of all Combine participants while at the Combine for CBS Sports HQ, Ryan Wilson. Wilson, what's up, buddy?
Did you hear the intro?
You know what? We don't really need to explain the technical. No, yes, I've heard it, but I didn't hear it just now.
Did you hear the last little bit before you came on the air?
No.
Oh, well, thanks to Debo. He played the Ryan Wilson impersonating Will Brinson. This is the Pick Six Podcast intro from last week when we did it from Indy, where I was trying to be Will. And I thought it was pretty good. The fact that you didn't react, it troubled me. I thought maybe you were really angry, but I think you just weren't paying attention.
No. Well, I mean, long story short, my headphones are running through my computer and not through the mixer right now. So that's why I couldn't hear it. Would you like me to go back and play it again?
No, I heard it. It was fantastic. And I'm glad Debo put that on the end there. You can hear it when you re-listen to it live.
I thought you did a great job hosting the podcast.
Well, as you pointed out in the last podcast, it wasn't a lot of me talking. It was me just throwing it to Brady and Pete. I mean,
you're trying to herd a group of wine drunk cat, like cats drunk on wine. Like through a mall. Like it's like herding cats, wasted cats through the Mall of America.
Not easy. And Pete's a cat guy, so that works.
Yeah, so is Breach. We got a lot of cat guys. JLC's a dog guy. I'm a dog guy. You're a dog guy.
What's Debo? Debo must be a dog guy. He's not a cat guy.
No. Come on. Dog guy.
Debo hates animals.
No, I can see Debo liking animals. I don't understand the whole cat thing, but whatever. I don't want to.
Hey, but Debo, you don't have a dog, do you?
No, I don't. My hours, I don't think, are conducive to that. But if I see, like, on a dating app, a girl is like, I love cats, then that's an automatic swipe to the left.
Do girls write, I love cats on dating apps, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Like, a lot of these, they, like, give you certain prompts. So it'll be something animal-related, or like dog or cat. And if I see cat, then that's a red flag to me, more than a lot of things.
Okay, I was just picturing like some girl who's like on her profile. It's like, I love cats! Like exclamation point, which is, you know, maybe don't do that.
Ain't got time for that.
Yeah, then you're just herding your way into crazy cat lady. Or crazy cat man, you know, because either one is possible. Anyway, the combine, it's over. It's over early. Used to run into Monday, sometime Tuesday. It felt like it would run through the weekend with defensive player drills, but it's over after a thrilling Sunday of primetime combine. By the way, remember, subscribe, rate, and review to the podcast. Leave a 5-star review. Ask us a question about a team, a player, a draft situation, whatever you want, off-season, free agency, anything you want. We will answer it on the podcast. We weave those mailbag questions in all the time. Then we do special mailbag episodes at various points. Ryan. As our junior draft analyst. Why don't you give me a grade, an overall grade for the new combine, the primetime combine?
Well, let's see. I feel like it was too dragged out for the primetime experience because they were trying to fit in the commercials and make it last from 7 till 11. I wish it were a little more compact. I think the players actually wish they weren't running late at night. And I understand that because when they train for this thing in the weeks leading up to the combine, they're not running at 8:30, 9:30, 10:30 at night. I thought it got actually better over the weekend when there was not the element of it being, at least on Sunday, on prime time. It was 2 to 7, or 2 to 6 actually, 6:30 I think Rich Eisen ran his 40. And I actually liked that better. I was doing some mock drafting, and I could listen to it and watch it in the background, and it wasn't something where I was expected to be on the set at 11:15 p.m. to talk about what had happened the hours before. I don't think the ratings were great, and maybe that's just a function of people not knowing or not being accustomed to it. So we'll see what happens. I mean, ultimately, at the end of the day, ratings tend to be pretty important, you know, we'll see how it goes from there. But it was different.
That was a great job giving a letter grade.
Did you ask for a specific letter grade?
I mean, when you say give it a grade, it's not really your opinion. It's like, give me a specific grade.
I'll give it a – I like the fact –
You may guess your grade, and then I'll grade your grade. Yeah. I'm going to guess that you give it a B minus because that's the sort of grade you give something you don't like but you don't want to insult.
Yeah, I was thinking C plus B minus. I like the fact that the players and the coaches were on the podiums right behind us, and we could get those guys very easily, which wasn't the case last year. So that was really good. And you get
how many total coaches did you guys get? Well, that's not a function of the combine itself. And they jammed all the coaches and GMs into one day, which is a real pain in the rear. I mean, like if you're up there and you're trying to listen to everybody talk, I mean, you're only going to get a couple of guys. You have to go back and read a bunch of transcripts. And that's fine. I mean, it just used to be where you could talk, you could sit in one spot and basically get every single coach or at least three quarters of the league throughout the course of the entire combine.
I think that we got five or six coaches. I was only on set for Sean McVay, but I will say this, and this was actually pretty cool. Tommy Tran was the anchor for, I think, all of those conversations except for the one where Pete did a stand up with Andy Reid. But, he was there for Brian Flores, who, as you might imagine, is very serious and rarely smiles. We were walking back to the set and in Indianapolis, the convention center connects to Lucas Oil Stadium. Media is not allowed in Lucas Oil Stadium, but obviously the players, the coaches, GMs, and scouts, and all those guys are. And we walk past Brian Flores. Brian Flores looks up, smiles, said, "Hey, what's up, Tommy?" And, you know, And Tommy's like, "What's up, Brian?" He may have actually called him B-Flow, if I'm not mistaken.
After the interview? After the interview being completed? That's impressive.
Like a day and a half later. He said, "Hey, Tommy, what's up?"
Was Tommy like stunned after the fact?
Afterwards, he's like, "Oh, hey, you remember my name? That's cool." He said that, you know, not to be flow, but to the group of us walking. I was like, "Good Lord, Tommy, you're legit."
I wish I had that sort of ability to remember names.
Yeah, it was pretty crazy. But I think like when you're like a young whippersnapper coach and you have your stuff together, that's probably one of those things that you do. Oh, you'll appreciate this story. So Sean McDermott happened to be standing behind the CBS Sports HQ set. And I couldn't wait to talk to him because, as you know, I went to college with Sean McDermott. I talked to him a few years ago when he was the defense coordinator of the Panthers. Talked to him for like 10 minutes at that Super Bowl with the Broncos, and we were just talking about William Mary, oddly enough. So I went up to him and reintroduced myself. I said, "Hey, Sean, Ryan Wilson. I graduated from William Mary in 95. And he goes, "All right." I was like, "Eh, I was talking to Joe Person because Joe Person went to William Mary, and he knows Sean, too. And he's the beat reporter for the Athletic, covering the Panthers." And we talked like probably 45 seconds. And I think the William Mary's changed their mascot now. They used to be the Tribe. But like after 45 seconds, he just slaps me on the back and says, "All right, go Tribe," and walks off. All right, good talk, Sean. Appreciate that, man.
There's nothing worse than when you go up to somebody like that and you try to break the ice with something that you are absolutely positive will break the ice.
He doesn't hear every day, "Hey, I went to college with you."
I mean, like, you think he'd be like, "Oh yeah, like, cool. Like, who was your, you know, do you have so and so's, like, or like, you know, what dorm do you live in?" Like, that's what I would reply with, or something like that. But like, I mean, you know, I've had that happen too, and it's just crippling. You're like, the entire conversation is just flat out of the gate.
Yeah, yeah. No, I get it, and we actually had those conversations that you mentioned back when he was a defense coordinator, and no one was around him and bothering him. So I'm sure he's at that point in his career where he's just tired of being bothered. Maybe he hated me. I don't know. But I thought it was pretty funny either way.
I don't think he hated you. Okay, so let's talk about the winners and the losers. We will also talk about Ryan's latest mock draft, because it is Mock Draft Monday. If you're listening to this, we're recording it on Sunday night, of course. That's when the combine wrapped up. And look, I'm not going to give the combine. I'll give you an A for your grade, by the way. I'm going to give the combine. I'm going to give it a D minus.
What?
I don't like the primetime thing. Now, look, this is going to sound like sort of a little spoiled, I guess, but like for me, I am used to getting up and watching the combine drills in the morning.
Yeah.
And throughout the day. And I work from home and I write about sports for a living, so I can watch the combine. Now, for people who don't have that luxury of working from home and doing it for work and like have to be at a job or an office during the day and are draft junkies, I think it's a great idea. And fans have embraced the combine and draft stuff more and more over the past few years and are big into draft things. So I'm fine with it. I can watch the combine whenever it's on, whether it's morning or night, doesn't matter. I mean, it's annoying that it's like getting in the way of other sports, but whatever. I want it to be in front of the eyes of as many people who can enjoy it as possible, but I just didn't feel like it had the pop or the pizzazz. Like I felt like it has way more pop when it's going on during the day because it's the only thing on. The quarterbacks threw on Thursday, and that was sort of a big deal. But this is not – even though it was a good crop of quarterbacks, you know, Burrow didn't throw, Tua didn't throw. And then, I mean, frankly, like, I didn't hear – I mean, like, there were maybe two things that really popped off. Mecky Becton's 40 and Isaiah Simmons' 40. And it was like – other than that, it was like – and Henry Ruggs, I guess, too, when he ran. But that was on Thursday, wasn't it?
Didn't
I mean, like
– 2-2.
He ran 4-2. Yeah, ran 4-2-7. But I'm just saying, like – 240 times, there was never anything that was like, oh, I got to get onto the combine. Like anything you want to see from the combine, you're going to get in the form of an alert, a little clip on Twitter, something like that. I don't know. I just don't know if it becomes must-see television for the average sports fan. And I think it's probably going to lose going up against big college basketball games, going up against a really entertaining golf tournament on Sunday. There's the XFL. I mean, I'd be curious to see how it rates out against those other things, but I would give it a D minus.
Well, maybe this will be the extent of the reach of the NFL in terms of their offseason sports-wise, because if you're doing it at 8 p.m. on a Thursday, Friday, Saturday night, and NBA, college basketball, golf are on, or at least on Saturday afternoon, then that's some competition for you. So we'll see. I'm sure they ain't going to give up trying.
I'm not sure if I mentioned this on Thursday or Friday show. I think I did, but I would say that to me, one of the reasons why I think that they're probably going to stick with the primetime thing and they're fine doing it right now, even though it doesn't make sense with the schedule in Indy, I would bet that the combine is in Los Angeles within 2 years. And so if that's the case, then all of a sudden, if you're running at 8 a.m. or you're running at 6 p.m. Eastern or 7 p.m. Eastern, it's really like 3, 4, 5 p.m. Pacific time. So my guess is it'll get out to LA. They'll change it. They'll keep it out in LA and maybe they move it around a little bit. There's been talk about that, like the draft, but I think they'll put it out in LA because that's where they want to host it. And they want to show off that new stadium and, it'll be easier for NFL Network to be set up there. So I'm guessing that is part of the primetime push as well.
Here's the thing about Los Angeles, and they were actually talking about this on Sunday's telecast. Charles Davis, I believe, Deion Sanders and Daniel Jeremiah. In Indianapolis, which is a small, big town, and yes, it's freezing cold this time of year, but you can walk to anything, usually indoors, and you don't have to get in a cab. You don't have to shuttle a bunch of people in a bus to get to the hospital, to get to the stadium, to get to places to eat, where Los Angeles is going to be a train wreck in terms of travel. And if your plan is to move around 300 to 340 kids that are working out of this thing, that's a lot logistically to sort out in a town where no one cares about sports. So – I mean, that's something you have to figure out. And the NFL, I would imagine, at the end of the day, doesn't care. We've seen them host Super Bowls in cities where the media spend all their time on the bus, and it's not about the media. But to get the players around, that's sort of important. So that's the allure of Indianapolis. But, you know, they used to have the draft every year in Radio City. And guess what? It's not been in New York since, and it probably won't be.
All right. Well, let's get into business. Let's get down to the nitty-gritty. Let's get the show on the road. Combine winners. What, give me one, give me, let's start listing winners.
All right. I'll start, in random order. Isaiah Simmons.
Huge winner.
238 pounds, 6 foot four, 4.39 40, 39 inch vert, 132 inch broad jump, on and on and on. So I don't know if I mentioned this when we last spoke on the podcast, but we talked to Joe Burrow and asked him the one player he had to look out for in the national championship game, Isaiah Simmons. He said, I need to know where on every single play, and the dude's a freak. So let me see if I have this tweet up. It's actually pretty good. But they were comparing
a 4.39 40 with a 39 vert and 132 broad at 6'4", 238 is absolutely insane.
So here we go. Yeah, no, it's nuts. Snap counts by alignment, according to Pro Football Focus in their final year of college. Derwin James played the slot. Cornerback, 178 times. Safety, 390 times. Off-ball linebacker, 149 times. Edge rusher, 64 times. Isaiah Simmons played slot cornerback, 257. So think about that. Slot cornerback, 6'4", 230. Safety, 225 times. Off-ball linebacker, 192 times. Edge defender, 115 times. So the point is, and it's funny, we asked Isaiah Simmons who he sort of compared himself to or who he watched in order to sort of get himself pumped up, and he mentioned guys like Teron Matthew and Von Miller, oddly enough. But he didn't mention Derwin James, but I think all three of those guys taken together is who he is. And if that sort of appeals to you, I think that Isaiah Simmons is your man.
Did you – what did you just read, the tweet? What was it? Debo just dropped something else that I was going to share.
NFL Research tweeted this out via Pro Football Focus comparing Derwin James and Isaiah Simmons in terms of the positions they played in college. And basically it was split among slot
quarterbacks. No, you don't have to reread it. I was just making sure I didn't double up and sound like an a-hole. Okay. They also tweeted out he's basically a bigger Julio Jones. He ran a faster 40 than Julio Jones. His vertical was higher. And he's 6'3 instead of Julio 6'2 and weighs 18 pounds more than Julio Jones did at the combine. That is it's just insane. I think that this combine, I think he was probably there anyway, in my opinion, but like, I think he's a slam dunk top 10. And I think he is probably a pretty good bet for top five in the draft. The only reason I would not say he's I think he's definitely a top five talent. The problem is you get, you know, with positional stuff. I mean, I do think because he moves from linebacker to safety, that's not really as much of a concern. He can blitz, et cetera. But I do think that, because there are quarterbacks in the draft that will go high, that you will, you know, he could fall out of the top five, but I don't think it's likely. Well, maybe we'll find out if he's in Ryan's top five.
That's right.
Later on, which I'm guessing he is now. But don't ruin it. Who else is a winner from the combine?
I had Jalen Hurts in there. We talked a little bit about him last week, but he ran that 4.59, and I'll keep saying it until people tell me to quit talking about it. But he is Taysom Hill, but he's a better passer. And, you know, you bring him in, and you give him a small package of things to do, and you have success. You can't put him on a crappy team. I was actually thinking about that. It's easy to say, yeah, you can't draft Justin Herbert or Jordan Love or Jalen Hurts and put him on a terrible football team. So, yeah, you can say that about anybody. But I feel like you could do that with Joe Burrow. You could put Joe Burrow on a terrible football team, and he will go to a terrible football team and probably have success. But Jalen Hurts is a guy who needs to develop as a passer and as a sort of a drop-back guy. But in the meantime, he can do all sorts of things, and he certainly helped himself with that 4.59 40 time.
So you say that he has to go – I think we set the over-under at the first pick of the third round for Jalen Hurts. You say he can't go to a crappy team. I mean, like, the problem – it's just so hard to – are you really going to use a second or third round pick on a guy that you've just building a package, like a package of plays for? Like, where would Taysom Hill go in this draft if you dropped him in there and magically made him not 30?
Yeah, Taysom Hill's issue was injuries. He had a ton of injuries at BYU. He would have gotten drafted. He'd have been a day three guy, maybe fourth round. I don't know. So Jalen Hurts isn't that far from a fourth-round pick. But, I mean, he could even go to a team like Jacksonville and have success. Their quarterbacks, obviously, are question marks. But his versatility is – I mean, the organization is relatively stable, just so they don't have a quarterback. And, you know, he can fix that through free agency maybe. But, I mean, think about him in Indianapolis, for example. That, to me, is pretty exciting. They need an extra wide receiver. They can certainly have him sort of mix things up with Marlon Mack in the run game. And then he can throw the ball. And, you know, if they get Phillip Rivers, even better. That makes Phillip Rivers' life a little easier. But
yeah, I mean, he said he won't be anything other than a quarterback, though. I mean, so, like, you're going to have to keep him on the depth chart as a quarterback. Like, he's going to have to be like Taysom Hill.
That's fine. That's right. I mean, Lamar Jackson's a quarterback, but Joe Flacco kept throwing him, you know, medicine balls in that first 6 weeks to get him injured.
That's right. I forgot about that.
R. Jackson, I'm not even going to try to catch those.
No, I will say too, that like the Taysom Hill thing is a huge win for Jalen Hurts because Taysom Hill exists and people are interested in Taysom Hill, somebody will do something like get, like, remember when Pat White came along and he went like in the second round because the Wildcat was hot? Like, if you're, it's all about timing. You know, 5 years ago, Jalen Hurts is going undrafted.
Maybe not. I don't know. But no, I mean, the point is,
I don't think he's a great quarterback, but
he's got to get better as a passer. He's a better passer, and Prisco says this, and he's right. He's a better passer than Taysom Hill right now, and all the talk about Taysom Hill being a franchise quarterback is sort of silly. So I think if he went late in the third round, that's fine as a comp pick. If he went middle of the third round, because some team has the expectation they can make him into something, that's fine, too. I wouldn't take him in the second round.
Pat White, legendary, 2009 NFL draft, now with South Florida.
He got absolutely destroyed. I don't know if Debo can find the clip. Ike Taylor absolutely ended his world.
Sean Taylor.
No, Ike
it was
Taylor.
Ike Taylor?
Yeah. Because it was, I remember it was the Steelers Dolphins, and he just, he wasn't meant to be a second round pick.
Oh, that's right. That game was insane.
On the sideline.
Playing on your, Debo found it. Debo found it in 3 seconds.
Debo is. Debo is not a cat owner. I'll just leave it at that.
Yeah. I forgot. Yeah, he ran around that the left side, and Ike Taylor just came in and dropped him. Okay, moving along. Offensive lineman, big boy. Who's Tristan Wirfs is on your winners list. Is he the best? Is he your number one offensive lineman?
No, it goes back and forth. I mean, there are so many good guys. 5 or 6 good draft in the first round, and I think you mentioned Isaiah Simmons being a top 5, top 10 pick. He could get pushed down because of quarterbacks and because there's a running offensive and defensive lineman. But Tristan Wirfs is right up there, and he just reconfirmed that he's really good. That 4.85 40, he 36.5 vertical, which is bonkers for someone who weighs 320 pounds. Can play right tackle. He can play left tackle. Probably play guard if they want to play there. So he's a guy you put in right away and solve any issues you may have at offensive line.
Would when you say it goes back and forth, is it Andrew Thomas and Tristan Wirfs, or do you include Mekhi Becton in there?
Yeah, so I like Jedrick Wills a lot. Heard some talk last week at Indy that they might kick him inside the guard, but we heard the exact same thing last year about Jonah Williams, and Jonah Williams actually left tackle until he got hurt. I like Jedrick Wills as a right tackle. He's a grown man. I mean, he just sort of body slams people. Mekhi Becton is, that's Pete's Prisco's favorite guy. I like him a lot, and Andrew Thomas had a really good combine as well, showed up his athleticism. He had sort of slipped, quote unquote, to the fourth spot among those list of offensive linemen, but I don't think they're that far apart. I think Wirfs is probably the furthest along. I think Wills is the one of the strongest. Obviously, Mekhi Becton is pretty strong too for someone who's 6'7", 364 and ran a 4.51 or whatever he ran. And yeah. Andrew Thomas, his footwork's a little sloppy, but he's a 3-year starter, I believe. Replaced Isaiah Wynn, can play right tackle, left tackle, protected Jake Fromm, and play with DeAndre Swift, so on and so forth. So, I mean, those guys are all first-round picks.
Okay. I would take Becton myself. I think he's a monster. I think, do we have any our draft props out yet? I haven't even really looked. I think that, let's see if we can find some draft props. NFL draft props. Here we go. Let's see. I don't know if these are officially released. Nah.
Debo, just put this black while you look for it, but the NFL research, Tristan Wirfs' vertical was higher than Dre Hopkins a few years ago, Jerry Jeudy, and CeeDee Lamb this year. I mean, that's bonkers.
Who will be drafted first, Jordan Love or Justin Herbert? Herbert minus 185, Love plus 140. I would take a gamble on Love.
Well, we can talk about it with my latest mock draft later.
All right, perfect. Tua's over-under set at 3.5. Number of quarterbacks selected in the first round, over 4.5? Is that 4.5? We're going to get 5 quarterbacks?
Someone goes for just Jacob Eason. But that's
over 4.5 is minus 165, too. Wow.
What's to under?
Over. This is insane. Under is plus 120.
I would bang that under right now.
I can't. I'm not allowed to say what site I'm using for this. But it's an offshore. But I mean, like, I just, you know, I knew, I'm sure you can find something.
You have to say, so you don't have to say the site. Just tell me the props.
And then the this one is crazy, too. Number of quarterbacks. Well, actually, this is not. Wait, this is.
Here, tell me what it is. Hold on. Tell me what it is, and I'll guess it.
Okay. Number of quarterbacks taken in the top 10 of round 1, over under is?
3.5.
That is right. Good call. And the over is minus 140. Under is even.
Under. Take the under on that.
Yeah, I think that's the under is a good bet.
First 10, no way. Yeah. With Jeffrey Good and Isaiah Simmons and Derek Brown out there and all those offensive.
If four quarterbacks go in the first in the top 10, so then your other six guys are Chase Young, Okuda, Isaiah Simmons.
And then a bunch of linemen.
Probably three offensive linemen because you got Cleveland, New York.
And Derek Brown, too. So you had to put him in there, the defensive tackle. So, is right.
Dude, that would be insane. That means like some really good draft prospects would drop to the middle of the second round or the middle of the first round. That's what happened with Derwin James, too. Remember? Because Josh Rosen and all those guys got taken and Derwin fell.
You hate to see it.
You do hate to see it. All right. Justin Jefferson on your winners list.
Oh, I love Justin Jefferson so much. He was one of the first guests we had. And I was actually – I told him, I said, dude, I am so happy you're 6'1 and 202 pounds because I wanted you to be big and, not a little small slot corner. And the issue with him is, all right, how fast is he going to run? Because Devin Duvernay plays a similar position at Texas, a slot guy, but Duvernay's a track guy.
Right.
So we knew he was going to run well. And Jefferson, sometimes you watch – I mean, he was a huge element of that passing game in LSU, obviously, along with Jamar Chase. And the issue was, okay, he doesn't face a lot of press man in the slot, and how fast is he? And he said, I'm going to surprise a lot of people, so just hold your breath on that. And that dude ran a 4.43. He's like a first rounder. I mean, that's huge. Like, if he goes to the Saints or to the Patriots.
Do you think Justin Jefferson goes first round?
There's so many of these guys. We'll see. I mean, he could fall to the second round because, you know, sort of the conversation we're having about three and a half quarterbacks going in the top 10. But that size, the height, the weight, and the 40 time, and the 40 time, most importantly, you're in the 37 and a half vertical. That's first round stuff, especially with that production.
All right. What about Neville Gallimore?
So, I met him at the Senior Bowl, and he's just a freak athlete. And I was sort of talking to him again at the combine.
Defensive lineman for Oklahoma, by the way.
Yeah, and he had a really good season. And
he's
big
dude.
He's dropped 30 pounds from a year and a half ago. And so Quinnen Williams ran a 4.83 last year, and Quinnen Williams was the third overall pick. And he said, yeah, I'm going to beat that.
Really?
He did, dude. Got a 4.79 and put up 23 on the bench press, which is fine. I mean, that's more than adequate. But right, he's 6'2", 304. Another guy who's like a late first round, second round guy, who's a sort of a spark plug. Quick for his size. He's obviously fast, but he's a sideline to sideline sort of chase guy. Remind me a little bit of Jeffrey Simmons in terms of chasing people down. He's a good player. And he's Canadian. I mean, he's like proudly represents the fact that he's Canadian and is happy about repping the, I don't know, what do they call themselves? The great people from up north.
The great north? Yeah. We the North?
Yeah. Yeah, they're like Game of Thrones.
How many Canadians do you know?
Well, I'm not far from Canada, but how many do I know? I don't know a ton.
There's like a sneaky amount of Canadians in the media. Julie Stewart Banks.
Jeremy St. Louis from Canada.
Jeremy St. Louis.
Who'd you just say?
Julie Stewart Banks is Canadian.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
Pat Mayo.
I think you said Pat McAfee. I said Pat McAfee's definitely not Canadian.
He's not Canadian. Pat Mayo's Canadian. J.E. Skeets and Taz Mellis are Canadian.
They're OG bloggers.
That's right. Trey Kirby, not Canadian. He's from Chicago. Anyway, combine losers. And by the way, did anybody pop up for you on Friday, Saturday, Sunday, I guess? I mean, obviously we had these winners, but anything notable from Friday, Saturday, Sunday's action that you would want to discuss?
Sunday were the defensive backs and C.J. Henderson out of Florida, who I usually have going in the first round, but he's not Jeffrey Okuda. And usually I've had Trevon Diggs going before him. Trevon Diggs, the Alabama cornerback, and Stephon Diggs' brother did not run at the combine. He did the drills. Looked super smooth catching the ball, which makes sense. We'll see how fast he is at his pro day. C.J. Henderson ran a 4.39, put up 20 pounds on the bench press, looked incredibly smooth.
127 broad jump, too. Phew.
Yeah, dude. He's a cover corner, and just those numbers are great and all, but you watch him play, he's really good. The issue is he doesn't always tackle. And Jordan Reed, who writes for the Draft Network, he's not the tight end for the Redskins who was just released, but he actually played at either NC Central, NC A&T as quarterback. And now he does this for Lemon. He's really good. But he talked to a scout who said, which I think is really funny, when he asked a question about C.J. Henderson not tackling, the scout said, does anyone ask questions about all these defensive backs who are currently free agents that are going to get paid a lot of money, whether those guys tackle or not? All you care about is whether they cover people. So C.J. Henderson covers people, and that's pretty important to what you ask him to do. So, you know, as the old saying goes, he made himself some money, I think, on Sunday.
I mean, he's not wrong.
No, but we do get caught with that stupid stuff. I did ask Grant Delpit, the safety at LSU. So what do you tell people when they say you can't tackle? Because you didn't tackle a lot of people in 2019. Asked it very nicely. And he's a great kid. And he's
what
a,
did
you know,
he say?
He's like, yeah, I got to work on that. And I had a high ankle sprain. And that was the thing. He had an ankle injury all season. That's why he didn't run. Or that's what he said he didn't run at the combine. He's going to do it his pro day. But again, some people will tell you, dude, he's a center fielder and he's a ball hawk. Let's make sure you have your priorities in order when you're talking about that. Yes, it's important to tackle in football, but at the end of the day, maybe it's not as important to be a cover corner or safety and tackle, unlike a defensive tackle or a linebacker.
Mm. That's really interesting that you ask Grant Delpit to his face. Hey man, how can you suck at tackling, bro?
I didn't say that. I like Grant Delpit.
I'm just kidding. All right, how about some losers? Derek Brown is on the loser list. Is he falling out of the top 10?
I don't want to call these guys losers. They're just guys who probably didn't perform to expectations. He ran a 5.16.
Yeah, but stock up, stock down.
Yeah, there you go. 5.16 is fine for Derek Brown. But his three cone was 8.22, and that is glacially slow.
That is really slow.
I mean, DK Metcalf's like, man, that is slow. So, you know, maybe he runs a faster one at his pro day or whatever. But you watch him play, and you're like, this dude is the top five talent. And he remains that. But I'm guessing he would like to have had a better three-cone drill. And Mike Renner, the Pro Football Focus draft analyst, tweeted
DK,
about
for the record, rate a 7.38 three-cone drill.
Did he?
That's so slow.
Just for fun? When did he have the occasion to do that?
He ran a 4.33 40 and a 7.38 three-cone drill. That's an impossible thing to do.
Yeah. That's funny you say that because we talked to so many people who said that they were – I don't remember who it was, but they were meeting with Pete Carroll. Pete Carroll was trying to trip him up when they were doing the board work, quote unquote, and he said it was really weird. And I said, did he rip his shirt off or did he keep it on? He goes, no, he kept it on, so that was good. I don't even remember who the player was.
I'm trying to see – I was trying to see if Vince Wilfork – I was just trying to think of somebody big who wore the somebody big who would have run a three-cone drill that was really slow. I mean, 8.22 is incredibly slow.
I think that's one of the slowest. So I don't even know. Vince Wilfork's had to have been faster than that. I think Derek Brown's ran one. Maybe he was hurt. I haven't heard anything. Maybe he pulled up. I don't know. But he's still a top-five player. It just struck me as weird that he would run that given how he played during the season. And I think it was Derek Brown because I asked him of the quarterbacks you faced, Joe Burrow, Jake Fromm, which one was the toughest? And he said, you know what, man, we got after Joe Burrow and we hit him pretty hard. And we enjoyed that, but he just kept getting up, which was incredibly frustrating, which was true.
They actually played a really good game against Joe Burrow.
Oh, I remember one hit on Joe Burrow. I thought Joe Burrow might've gotten hurt and he popped right back up and, you know, he said we kept coming, but he kept getting up and, you know, it is what it is. But anyway, the point is, even though he ran 8.22, he had very little trouble, getting to Joe Burrow frequently.
AJ Espinosa. Is that right? Espinosa?
No S. Yeah, you were close.
How do you say it?
Espinosa.
Oh, I can't read. I'm sorry. It's a long
time. All right. So 504, that's not no problem there. 17 bench, that's, you know, he's like, okay, he has really long arms. Mm-hmm. So you're like, okay, we're going to need something more than that. And I actually was talking to a former general manager about the 17 bench press 225. Like, well, it's a little concerning. It's not the end-all, be-all, but you get your attention and you wonder what's going on there. And he's also a guy who is not quick twitch. He's a defensive end. That's what he played at Iowa. And I asked him sort of, what do you sort of consider your game? He goes, well, I patterned myself after J.J. Watt. And he said, look, I'm not J.J. Watt. I understand that. But I'm a big – I'm 6'5", 275. I'm not Caleb Von Chason, for example, who's like a quick twitch guy around the edge. I have more wind with power and a little quickness and not solely on quickness. And the 17 bench makes you wonder about the quickness part. I mean, the strength part of it. But I liked him when I watched him play, but he didn't blow me away. I mean, he didn't do J.J. Watt things play in and play out.
Right.
So, and sometimes he would just disappear, and that happens. I get that. So I don't think he's the first round pick right now, but if he goes in the second round, I think that's a perfectly good spot for him.
Okay. Laviska Shenault, a loser because he had to have surgery.
Yeah, that's not great. So stock
him. You can't take that guy in the first round.
Well, injuries were a huge issue last season. You couldn't really get a sense of how explosive he could be because he was battling one injury or the next, and then he came to the combine running a 4.58, and then said, all right, I get the surgery taken care of. 17 bench, I mean, who cares? That's not bad for a wide receiver. But the 4.58, 4.59, that ain't going to work. So it can work.
What about the fact that he ran a 4.55 with the injury?
4.58, yeah. That's the other thing. If he'd run really fast, we're talking about A.J. Brown comps. The 4.58 brings Anquan Boldin comps, which isn't terrible, but he's supposed to be a faster player than that. So hopefully the injuries will – the surgery, excuse me, will take care of that and he can, you know, get it back on track because he's a good, really good player.
I think he's a stud. I just would have a question about taking him in this class with all these wide receivers in the first round after that surgery. Mitchell Wilcox caught a football to the face.
Not only did he catch to the face, we later found out that he popped a blood vessel in his eye and kept going during the gauntlet drill.
Yeah. So, did we find out who threw it?
No. It was probably Mitch Trubisky.
They didn't show it on the telecast. So he didn't cut to like the guy who threw it and be like, here's the a-hole who popped Missile's face.
It's usually kids that probably end up don't getting drafted or end up in camps just sort of turn. And Deion Sanders actually asked this Sunday. He said, do any of these kids do anything ever like beyond this? And of course, Daniel Jeremiah's like, well, Tony Romo was actually one of those guys at one point. And he's doing okay, especially after the recent news.
Yeah. Congrats to Tony Romo.
You, guy, throwing the ball up Mitchell Wilcox's face.
Congrats, Tony Romo. You're now the second highest paid guy at CBS behind Ryan Wilson.
Yeah. Matt.
Bradley and I.
Nice. You nailed it.
Yeah.
So edge rusher ran at 4.93. That's, you know, okay. That's not going to work. 25 bench is very nice. You like that. The 7.443 cone is like, ooh, all right. And he's only 257 pounds, which isn't small, but you would expect him, someone who was heavier than that, to run the 4.93 type 40, like a Garrett Bradbury, for example. So, you watch him play and he looks pretty good. I don't think he's like he wasn't a first or second round guy for me. I liked him more in the third round. Some people liked him more. Some people liked him less. So, we'll see. Go ahead. It's pro day. He can improve on those numbers, but the 4.93 sort of gets your attention.
I would have included Mr. Becton in this list, in the list of winners. He ran a 5.11 40 at 364 pounds. My guy at NC State, James Smith Williams, actually cut his elbow during his vertical jump. I think he's a good player. I don't know.
Ran a 4.6, by the way.
Yeah, he had a good combine.
I think the vert was crazy. It was a really good vert, but again, yeah, he landed on his elbow hit the side.
Is 4.6 terrible for him?
No.
Yeah, 4.6 is fast, right?
Fantastic.
I was like, wait, what, am I missing something here?
That's a good thing. The elbow thing sucks. I think his vert was actually really good, too.
Yeah. I'm trying to look at, defensive lineman 40 times. He probably would have run a 3-cone drill, right? Yeah, he had a 7.35 3-cone drill. That's pretty good for his size.
Yeah.
What did he tell us up on that bench? 28 bench reps, 32 vertical, 123 broad, 7.35 3-cone drill, and 4.52 shuttle. That's pretty good.
Yeah, the thing is, and you know this better than I do, did not a lot of production, so you wonder about that.
Yeah, he was a little disappointed in that sense.
You got Laurell Murchison will get drafted higher than he is.
Murch is a monster.
He had a really good Senior Bowl, too.
Yeah, he did. Okay. Also notable, Javelin Guidry ran a 4.29. On Sunday, 21 bench reps, incredible name, Utah cornerback. Jeffrey Okuda, the Ohio State cornerback, hurt his neck during a drill on Sunday. That's something to keep an eye on. And Patrick Queen and Kenneth Murray also injured running the 40 on Saturday. A lot of injuries this year at the combine.
Well, I will tell you this. Jeffrey Okuda went up for the ball and fell down awkwardly, and everyone's like, oh, boy, here we go. And as he finally got up after 15, 20 seconds on the turf, and as he was jogging back or even walking back, Deion Sanders walked over to him and said, wrap it up. There's no reason for you to be out here working like this. And Sanders actually made a good point. He goes, why is it that no one cares that Joe Burrow isn't throwing, but we want the best cornerback by miles to go out there and run around and potentially hurt himself and hurt his draft stock when there's nothing he needs to prove? And he was right. And he said that Okuda wanted to work out afterwards. He said, man, you might have a concussion. There's no reason for you to wrap it up. And, and
you're not getting paid for this. I mean, you are getting paid if you do really well, but like you're already getting paid, bro. I mean, Chase Young pointed out, he's like, I'm not trying to be a combine workout guy. I don't need to do that. So I'm not going to do all the workout at the combine. And he's not wrong.
Daniel Jeremiah reminded everyone that Quentin Nelson didn't run a 40 at the combine, didn't run it at his pro day, and no one cared. Why do you care? It doesn't matter.
Right.
You can look at Chase Young and figure out that, you know what, he's probably pretty good based on the fact that he had 40,000 sacks in 8 football games.
Yeah. Jonathan Taylor, 4.41 40, running back out of Wisconsin. And the Davis twins, Khalil, 4.75 at 308 pounds. And Carlos, 4.82 at 313. Coming up after the break, we'll find out if Jeffrey Okuda's injury cost him a spot in the Ryan's top 5 of his mock draft.
The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com.
Did you know that while over 60% of Americans dream of starting their own business, less than 20% of them take the first step? The reason? Building a business is tough. Taylor Brands is simplifying the business journey. From launching and managing to growing your business, Taylor Brands isn't just another tool. It's your online business partner from launch to success. With Taylor Brands, building your dream business becomes an effortless experience. Their comprehensive platform guides you through every step, ensuring you have everything you need in one place. From LLC formation to bookkeeping, invoicing to acquiring licenses and permits, and even setting up your bank account, Taylor Brands handles it all seamlessly. And our listeners will receive 35% off Taylor Brands LLC formation plans using our link, taylorbrands.com/CBS Sports. That's TAILORBRANDS.com/CBS Sports. So start your business journey today with Taylor Brands.
All right. So we mentioned, that's the biggest change. I think we mentioned that how much do you change your mock draft in the combine? Because I feel like this is a pretty big milepost for someone who does a ton of mock drafts. Like if you're doing a mock draft every week for 3 or 4 months, it's really tedious. And B, it is, right?
Yeah, you find it hard to mix things up.
Yeah, it's like, if you've been married for, been married for a decade, you got to figure out a way to spice things up, right? Sure. No, but in all seriousness, like you do have to like, you find yourself, it's a hard exercise because you're trying to match up these teams and you're trying to do a good job, but you also want to kind of do some thought process stuff. The combine is great because there's actually information that gets produced that could potentially change our opinion of some of these guys. A big jump up to number 3 overall for your boy Isaiah Simmons. Wow.
Yeah, so usually this is a spot held by Derek Brown and or Jeffrey Okuda. In previous mock drafts, I've had them trading out. Let's pick the Detroit Lions. But Isaiah Simmons, ratcheted up the wow factor coming out of the combine with 4.39 and all the other stuff he did. And the lesson or the whole idea for the Lions going into this offseason is get better as fast as possible because otherwise Matt Patricia and Bob Quinn could get fired.
Sure.
And Derek Brown's a fantastic player. Jeffrey Okuda's a fantastic player. Isaiah Simmons plays 4 positions. So what better way to get better quickly than have a guy who can do 4 things really well instead of one guy doing one thing really well, and that's a potential option. Worth noting, this mock draft has no trades for the first time in a few weeks, and that's because on Monday afternoon at 4 p.m., you can check out, I think it's on CBS Sports HQ, me and Pete Prisco will be comparing our mock drafts for the first time this draft season. So And Pete has announced that he does not do trades, so I just wanted to keep it.
In other words, there was like an email thread, and Pete was like, Pete didn't reply all because Pete didn't know how to reply all, and he was like, no trades.
There was no email thread, but he made it clear when I saw him in Indianapolis, I don't do trades. Very well.
So he's too lazy.
Yeah, he ain't doing trades. And he doesn't, what we do to publish the mock draft, Pete's just writing on a sheet of paper and giving it to an editor.
Yeah, he sends in like a text file. And that's probably why you have Tua Tagovailoa going number fifth overall. I got the name right and then messed that up. I have him going 5th overall. Tristan Wirfs jumps up into the top 5, going to the Giants. I think I'd be curious to see what the Giants do if this were to happen, because we know they don't like to trade. Dave Gettleman's never traded. He stated he also said, like, we're open for business. He just doesn't like trading. I don't think he will, but I am curious if, like, analytics might have a little bit more input into decision making in New York, the computer folk, if you will.
Please. The big thing that are going to drive Giants fans crazy is that number one, Isaiah Simmons could go before the Giants have a chance to pick him at number two. Dave Gettleman could very well take a defensive tackle there, like Derek Brown, if he's available.
It'd be incredible.
It would be fantastic.
But we just need another defensive tackle. It's like you just traded your a high pick for Leonard Williams, let him walk, and you're getting another defensive tackle in the draft. Bravo.
You drafted Dexter Lawrence. He weighs 5,000 pounds last year, and he had a really good season. What are you doing?
Yeah, exactly. The Dolphins would do cartwheels if this scenario happened there, right?
Yeah, they got I don't know if Tua's healthy. He says he is, and he walks great when you see him walking around, but when are we going to know? March 9th is the checkoff day for the – you're cleared to do sort of football stuff, and then April 9th is the plan for his pro day. But even if he runs a pro day, do you know enough? So we'll see. That would be great. Our guy Adam Beasley has mentioned that there are other quarterbacks the Dolphins are looking at too. And Chris Greer.
The Dolphins are thou doth protest a bit much in that sense.
Yeah. Chris Greer, the general manager, said they haven't talked yet about trading up or down for a quarterback, which means that they're definitely going to get to that conversation pretty soon.
Well, which means they definitely have talked about it.
Yeah. I just can't get it. The most amazing development so far this offseason for the Dolphins is that Brian Flores smiled and said hello to Tommy by name.
Tommy, what's up, buddy?
It was crazy, man. I was like, because I saw him walking, because you know you walk by these guys all day and you recognize them, and you go, okay, that's that. And I said, that looks like Brian Flores. And then he smiled and it looked completely different because no one's ever seen Brian Flores smile. And then he said Tommy's name. So I thought Tommy had worked with this guy like at a television station at some point in Tommy's career. Nope, that was the Dolphins head coach.
Brian Flores. That's incredible. Good job, Tommy. Jordan Love. Sorry, this one shocked me. You had you actually have, as we point out on the props, you can get plus money on Jordan Love to go ahead of Justin Herbert. You have Jordan Love going ahead of Justin Herbert, up five slots to number six of the Chargers. That'd be an interesting mix with Tyrod Taylor. Makes a lot of sense. And then number 13, you have Justin Herbert falling seven spots down to the Colts.
Again, no trade, so Justin Herbert probably goes sooner than that, but in this instance, he fell to the Colts. Here's my thing. I think Jordan Love, I feel comfortable saying he has more upside than Justin Herbert, and it's a matter of right fit and all that other stuff. But both players need to be in the right situation. As I've said, only Joe Burrow and maybe Tua healthy could overcome truly terrible situations like Cincinnati and Miami. But I think Jordan Love in Los Angeles makes sense if you're going to let him sit on the bench. I don't know if they would let him do that, but I think long-term he might have a little more upside than Justin.
Mm. And, I mean, do you think that the plan, like you're going with Tyrod Taylor, you're running the ball, et cetera, makes more sense with Jordan Love, or is that not really his game? I mean, what am I missing something there?
I mean, Pete hates when I say this, but Darvin Thompson told me and Jamie Eisenberg both that unprompted, he has a little Patrick Mahomes in what he does, and he's sort of that sort of athlete. He's not going to run like Lamar Jackson, but he can run like Patrick Mahomes, and then he has a really good arm, and he needs to make better decisions, but he's also a gunslinger, which is pretty funny because on Friday we were on set, me and JJ, Jonathan Jones, our colleague, and Jamie Eisenberg was hosting, and JJ was saying, I don't trust Jordan Love. He had 17 interceptions last year, and what kind of quarterback can be a franchise quarterback doing that? And as he was talking, I was like, Patrick Mahomes, college stats. His next to last season, Texas Tech, 15 interceptions.
Yeah.
As I look at this computer here,
who said he can't be a franchise quarterback? Lock and pull?
JJ, Jonathan Jones.
Oh, okay.
And as I was calling JJ out on it, he goes, "Lup, sorry, we've moved on to Jake Fromm. There's no time to talk about that," which I thought was pretty funny. But yeah, the point is that, you know, you can be a gunslinger in college and turn it around in the right system. And I think the right system is the most important part of this.
Yeah, no, that's, now I'm trying, now I want to know, how many, I feel like 15 interceptions is not that. But you think 17 is a lot for college?
I watched every one of Jordan Love's games last year, and he played some pretty crappy football. But again, he had no, as Pete likes to say, he was throwing to bartenders and bouncers. And he's not far off. All those guys had left the year before, and he was doing a lot. But there were some really, truly bad throws. But if you watch, 2018, I get it. This is why people like this guy. But 17, I mean, that's not great.
17's a lot. I mean, it's not.
I mean, look, Phillip Rivers would love to throw 17 interceptions in a season, but, you know.
That's unnecessary. Phillip Rivers was the greatest AC quarterback in ACC history. He never threw more than 10. He had 25 touchdowns and 10 picks as a freshman. A freshman, Ryan.
Phillip?
Yeah.
Nice. That's good for Phillip. Good job, buddy.
You know what he had in his senior year at NC State? Yeah. 72% completion.
Wow.
34 touchdowns, 7 interceptions.
7. I was going to guess 8. What did that team? Anything?
That team probably went like 8-5. Yep, 8-5.
Welcome to NC State football.
Yeah, it's like let's see. I'm sure we lost to Wake Forest in the first month of the year. Yep,
Rusty fact, yep,
that's right. Yes.
Rusty, we were,
I think it was my cousin.
Cousin was quarterback.
Yeah. I mean, maybe it was Rusty LaRue. Let's see.
Actually played an NBA basketball game, I believe.
Oh my god! So we played Western Carolina. Ranked 14th.
You lost back
to me? No, ranked 14th in the country. Go to Winston-Salem and lose to Wake by double digits. Nice. 38-24. Humiliating. Let's see. Who's the passing? Corey Randolph. They threw the ball 11 times. It's unbelievable. Anyway, nobody cares about this game.
Didn't even need Rusty Lou to beat Phillip Rivers, NC State.
Patrick Queen. Noah Igbinoghene.
What? And, you crushed that name.
Yes. And Brandon Ayuk. That's what I've been spending the entire day practicing. I'm not going to get it again. Patrick Queen, Noah, and Brandon Ayuk jump into the first round. And no wide receiver. So what prompted you to slide those guys into the first round?
So you may or may not remember, our guy Chris Trapasso was on the pre-combine podcast and was talking to Igbinoghene. So I watched him before the combine started, and I was like, holy crap, this guy's good. He plays in Auburn. No one's heard of him. Prisco was talking to me about him. And then I saw Ben Solak, who looks like he's 14.
That seems, based on his Twitter profile, that seems aggressive. Like 9 would be more.
But I met him last year for the first time at the Senior Bowl, and he's an awesome guy. And we were talking a little bit at the combine this year, and he remains an awesome guy. And those guys do great work at the Draft Network, so it was good to talk to him. And he said that he was approached. I don't know if I should be telling the story, but he was approached at the Shrine Bowl about Igbinoghene and sort of taking a look at him and making sure you know how good he is. And they had not watched him yet, which says a lot because they have 5, 6, 7 guys at the Draft Network, and all they do is study guys. So that they hadn't gotten around to him was pretty surprising. And once they did watch him, like, oh my god, this guy is really good. So it felt good to have those guys.
How is an Auburn cornerback off everybody's radar?
That's what I said. And you know, you get so caught up in all the other guys, and it seems to happen every year. Last year, Jamel Dean ran a 4.3 at the combine, ended up getting drafted 3rd or 4th round, maybe earlier by the Bucks, and had a decent year. So they put out cornerbacks. Igbinoghene is a sprinter. I think both his parents have sprinting backgrounds. He ran a really good 40. So yeah, he's a fun story. I don't know if he's going to go in the first round, but he's good, man. He is 5'11", 200 pounds, solid, doesn't get beat deep. Obviously the deep speed, he can help in the run game, fluid hips, as they say. So yeah,
nice. And what about the fact that no wide receiver goes until number 15. I don't believe that happens.
It may. I mean, we talked about the quarterbacks, the offensive linemen, the defensive linemen, Isaiah Simmons, Okuda. So they're guys that are going to go up there and go. Caleb on Chase on. So, yeah, it seems crazy that someone like either CeeDee Lamb or Jerry Jeudy would last until the middle of the first round. But that's great news for the Broncos who picked 15th. Who could land him there. And then I think, where did I have Jeudy going? I have Jeudy going to, oh, not Jeudy, I'm sorry. CeeDee Jones, CeeDee Lamb.
You had CeeDee Lamb going to the Cowboys. Oh, wait, that's not, wait, what did we say? Yep. Yeah, the 15, Jerry Jeudy 15 to the Broncos, CeeDee Lamb 17 to the Cowboys. Good Lord.
And great news for Debo and the Eagles, 21, they get Henry Ruggs in his 4.27.
I feel like everybody's penciling Henry Ruggs in for the Eagles.
That means it's not going to happen.
Oh, what's that, Debo?
I said that means there's no chance it happens.
Yeah.
For the longest time, I had them taking either a cornerback or like an edge rusher. But if nothing else, if they get Henry Ruggs, they will be dominating the offseason basketball circuit. Have you seen Henry Ruggs' basketball highlights, Brinson?
No, I have not. Were they on Twitter or something?
Oh, right. You're taking a Twitter break, which is another weird story.
I might, might cut out Twitter for Lent. I'm not sure yet.
For Lent? You're not even Catholic.
I'm Protestant.
Maybe you convert to Catholicism since I talked to you last. Quit Twitter, convert to Catholicism. All right.
You drank a lot of red wine. No, I haven't seen it. I'll take a look at Henry Ruggs' basketball skills shortly. What are you looking forward to the next? What's on your map draft wise over the next few weeks, Ryan?
Well, Monday is the draft show with Prisco. We're going to compare mock drafts. I think Tuesday we're doing a winners losers.
So that's today. If you want to watch the mock draft show, if you really like draft action, you want to hear Pete and Ryan do the mock draft show, watch it on CBS Sports HQ.
That's right.
Debo 4 p.m.
Debo just put the highlights into Slack if you want to see Henry Ruggs. Tuesday at 4 p.m., I think we're doing a winners losers, stock up, stock down, whatever you prefer, from the combine.
This is insane.
Yeah.
Henry Ruggs is like a NBA Jam character.
It's 5'11".
Good Lord. I mean, I'm drafting this guy in the top 10 based on this alone.
Like I said, if you want to win the offseason basketball league, you know, that's who you take. Problem solved. But, yeah, so that's what's going on. I think in a few weeks I'm going to be traveling to Houston to check out some stuff that we can talk about later. But, you know, hopefully I'll still be able to travel at that point.
Wait. You're going to Houston?
Yeah, I told you that.
For what?
Going to go talk to my guy who trains these defensive edge rushers and defensive linemen.
Oh, cool. Who is it?
Brandon Jordan. He's amazing. He's a young guy. Just started out 3 years ago. He was training like high school kids in the park. Snacks Harrison saw him on Twitter, got in touch with him, and like the last 3 years has been a whirlwind. In fact, he was Max Crosby's guy last year. Max Crosby went from fourth round pick to almost one of the defensive player of the year.
Could have been defensive rookie of the year for sure. Yeah, Max Crosby, incredible season. Well, that's cool. That'll be fun for a fun little trip for you.
Well, it's in Houston, and as Debo has already warned me, there's been at least one case of coronavirus in Texas. So,
in the state of Texas, do you know how big Texas is?
As you pointed out to me, this will be something that will concern me greatly. So, as you know,
were you worried traveling to and from Indy about the coronavirus?
Nah, I mean, at that point, what are you going to do? Like when I'm in the middle of it, it's over, you know. But when I have time to think about it. But
ooh,
there are
11 confirmed coronavirus cases in San Antonio.
Yeah, come on, Debo. Ooh, right. So, yeah, we'll see what happens. What's that one?
Debo's got.
I saw this one, Debo. I saw the postponement of the international conference to Houston. I do wonder if that's more about the international people coming flying into Houston or whether it's people from San Antonio going over to Houston. I don't know.
On a scale of 1 to 10, how worried are you about coronavirus?
Right now that I'm home, 0. But, you know, hanging around airports long enough, anything can happen. And I saw, I watch a lot of international soccer, and that they're doing the UCL, the Champions League, and there were – I saw some of the Italy matches, just the Italian Professional League, are empty stadiums, which is weird.
Yeah, there's a talk about a fanless March Madness.
No, there isn't. Is there?
Yeah, I saw it on the news today. People are talking about not having no fans at March Madness. It would be insane.
And the soccer players also were told don't slap hands anymore. Like no high fives. Wait, you gotta
agree. How do you spread it? I thought it was respiratory.
I don't know. Look, I don't know anything. Neither of us are doctors. I don't know.
I'm a doctor.
Oh, okay. That's right. You were a doctor. What was that thing you were supposed to be a doctor about before?
okay, I forgot. What is it? The foot thing.
Oh, okay. What's this?
What's this foot injury?
Oh, no.
Devo's got you panicking. This is beautiful.
Just wash your hands.
Yeah, I wash my hands religiously anyway. I did think about wearing gloves on the plane, but I was like, I can't do that.
Wait, I like this idea. The little foot tap? People are like going around and tapping foots instead of high-fiving. I think this is way more sanitary in general.
Yeah, and it's also like the – what dance was that? That's like the kid and play dance.
Yeah, that's right. For those who can't see this because it's some guy gets out of a bus. He's, instead of saying what's up to his boys and giving him a high five, he just taps his feet, taps each one foot, two foot. I like this. I think we should start doing that.
Start doing that. Give him the kid and play.
Shoes have become vastly more important in society. Like whatever shoes you wore would be more impressive.
Yeah. Maybe. But, yeah, fist bumps and kid and play. Problem solved. Nah, I'm not worried about it.
Okay, well, that's the show. Super Friends will be tomorrow. make sure to subscribe, rate, and review. And if you got draft questions, anything else, send us a note on iTunes or on Apple Podcasts with a 5-star rating, and we will get to your question. Ryan, talk to you mañana.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.